Don't look now, but there's something funny going on over there at the bank, George. I've never really seen one, but that's got all the earmarks of being a run.
Hey, lady, you got any money in the bank? You better hurry.
Hi, I'm Rob West. That, of course, was the bank run scene from It's a Wonderful Life. Now, we don't very often have bank savings and loans or credit union runs anymore, thanks to insurance. Aaron Kane is with us today to talk about how that came about. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, we always learn a lot when our friend Aaron Cade joins us. Aaron is the Chief Marketing Officer at Christian Community Credit Union, an underwriter of this program. And Aaron, it's great to have you back with us.
Thank you, Rob. It's great to be back with you.
Now, we tend to associate bank runs with the Great Depression, and it seems like that's the last time we really had any number of them. They're quite rare these days. So how did that come about, Aaron?
Well, Rob, back during the depths of the Depression, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation was created by national legislation, and it was to provide customers of banks the assurance that their money would be there when they needed it. They now insure bank deposits up to $250,000 per customer.
Yeah, and I know that's really reassuring to depositors. Aaron, what about other financial institutions?
So most savings and loans are also insured by the FDIC, but many credit unions are insured by a separate entity called the National Credit Union Administration, or NCUA. It was established in 1970. NCUA insures deposits up to $250,000 per customer. That's per tax ID.
Okay, but that's not the case for some credit unions. Some are actually insured by a private insurance company. So tell us about that.
Yeah, well, American Share Insurance is the largest, and it insures depositors of numerous credit unions across the country. This year, they're celebrating their 50th anniversary, which makes it only 4 years younger than the NCUA. As a private insurer, they cover up to $250,000 per account, not per tax ID like federal insurance. And no holder of an ASI-insured account has ever lost a dime.
Yeah, and I know you actually believe there's some advantages of having private deposit insurance. Aaron, share those with us.
Yeah, so several years ago, many years ago, Christian Community Credit Union members chose private insurance over federal insurance to give us the freedom to lend to churches and ministries. And that's really key to our reason to exist as a credit union. It's key to our mission. Our private insurance is more robust than federal deposit insurance. For example, a ministry with $1 million in working capital could put it into four different accounts, each insured up to $250,000.
Wow.
Elsewhere, only the first $250,000 would be insured. And ASI requires a higher level of liquidity than the NCUA. ASI member credit unions have to maintain 30% higher deposit ratio, which gives ASI greater resources and liquidity in times of trouble.
Yeah, that really does remove some of the limitations of both FDIC and NCUA. But Aaron, if someone who's listening today is a little skittish about their account being insured by a non-federal agency, what would you tell them?
Well, think about this. Most insurance you encounter today is private insurance. For example, your house isn't insured by the federal government. It's insured by a private company.
Yeah.
And private insurance companies have been around a lot longer than federal insurance. The first one dates back to 1732.
Well, Aaron, I know we've enjoyed a great relationship with Christian Community Credit Union for some time now, and our listeners enjoy the fact that they can have a partner in banking that shares their values. So will you just share a bit more about CCCU?
Yeah, I can. There's several reasons you would want to choose CCCU. First, we practice conservative biblical stewardship with the funds entrusted to us. We have zero debt, unlike many credit unions and banks that lever up their balance sheet to inflate returns. And our capitalization ratio is more than 80% higher than what the NCUA considers well capitalized. Our net worth ratio puts us in the top 10% of all credit unions. In fact, CCCU was recently recognized as a top 100 credit union nationwide for safety, stability, and growth by S&P Global. We're unapologetically Christian, and we're member-owned. Profits are returned to members in the form of better rates and lower fees. And we give to Christian ministries, such as Mission Aviation Fellowship, Christian Alliance for Orphans, and more. And probably most importantly for your listeners, we offer top-notch products such as high-yield checking, high-yield savings and CDs, and the cash rewards Visa that gives to Christian charities with every swipe.
That's really good, Aaron. All great reasons to join CCCU, and we're grateful for our partnership. Aaron, how can folks get more information?
Yeah, they can visit joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com.
Excellent. Thanks for stopping by, my friend.
Thank you, Rob. It was great to be with you.
That's Aaron Cade with Christian Community Credit Union. The website again, joinchristiancommunity.com. Back with your questions after this. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. If you were to show someone a list of the Ten Commandments and ask which one they've kept best, my hunch is number 6 would be the most common choice. It's found in Exodus 20, verse 13, "You shall not murder." But is it true that most people are innocent of this? Jesus reflected on this commandment in Matthew 5 and said that if we are angry with a brother or sister, we have committed murder in our heart. Turns out this commandment is more demanding than it seems, but praise God. In Christ, we can be forgiven of all sins, yes, even the breaking of God's law in our hearts. And we'll see Jesus more clearly through daily time in God's Word, and Anchor Devotional can help. Try it out at getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Critics often point to the Bible's Ten Commandments as an archaic list of unwanted rules and regulations. But in reality, God provided the Ten Commandments to save us, not repress us. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress presents compelling insights on the final four of the Ten Commandments. Join us for the series, The Ten, all this week on Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian credit counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian credit counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. That number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to tackle whatever is on your mind today as we look at your questions, the issues you're facing in your financial life through the lens of Scripture. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. In the news today, if you'll be on the road this holiday weekend, the driving won't cost you quite as much as a year ago. AAA is reporting that U.S. gasoline prices are substantially lower than last year's Labor Day weekend. A gallon of gas is averaging $3.36 nationwide, down about 13% from last year. Analysts say a series of factors are driving down gas prices. First, it's the end of the summer driving season, so this is typically the time of year where prices come down. Second, higher crude oil production in countries not aligned with OPEC is increasing supply. And finally, China's economy is slowing, which is reducing demand for crude oil on the world markets. You put all that together, not necessarily any kind of policy that's going on here in the U.S., largely global factors
that are driving down crude oil, which is obviously spilling over into gasoline prices. But good news for those who are going to be out traveling this weekend. If you're hitting the road, we hope you stay safe and make sure you tune into American Family Radio as you travel. All right, let's dive into your questions today. We'd love to know what's on your mind as we tackle those specific questions on managing God's money in light of your spending plan and your investments. Perhaps it's how you can give more wisely as we head into the giving season this fall. Well, it should always be giving season, right? But we certainly think about it a little more acutely as we approach year end. Maybe it's that credit score or a data breach you've been notified about. Everything going on in your financial life is in play today. That number to call, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. By the way, if you have a testimony you'd like to share with us on how God has worked in your financial life, we'd love to hear that as well. All right, let's begin today. We're going to start in New York and welcome Michael. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Rob. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you. I appreciate your call.
Sure. My question is, what is the minimum time frame to hold losing stock before selling and reinvesting in a potential different stock? And then a little trailer got a lead on a brand new stock. What would be a good resource to research the legitimacy and potential of a brand new stock?
It's a good question. And, you know, it really depends on in terms of when to sell it. It's going to come down to, you know, what the company is, what sector of the economy is. For instance, a sector that might be in a slump right now, but maybe it's expected to rebound. I think you can determine if it's a good time to sell by looking at what's called the stock's valuation metric. So you compare the stock's current price to earnings and price to book ratios with historical averages and industry peers. And if you find a stock is significantly overvalued, it might be a good time, at least one data point, to go ahead and sell and cut your losses. From a tax standpoint, if this is in a taxable account, obviously you could factor that in to whether or not you have gains that you could offset with the sale of this, perhaps to save yourself some taxes. If you work with a CPA, you can have that conversation, especially as we approach year end, to see if there's any kind of strategic moves you can make to offset taxes for losing stocks you want to get rid of. Kind of generally speaking, you know, a lot of times you'll hear investment managers say, cut your losses, let your profits run. And that's kind of a general idea of, you know, if you've got a losing stock, let's just go ahead and say, even though we've lost it, let's not try to wait necessarily for it to come back. And those stocks that are running, let's not try to necessarily lock in our profits. But again, it's all depending upon the individual company and the sector. And then there's economic forces. We also want to make sure we're staying long-term in our focus, which doesn't mean you can't ever sell a stock, but it does mean we don't try to jump in and out unless you're a trader, professionally trained, and understand the implications of that, not trying to jump in and out and capture short-term moves. That really kind of moves away from the idea of steady plotting that, at least for most of us, again, if you're not skilled in that area or that's not your full-time job, for most of us, you know, that's often the way to go. But are some of those things helpful?
Yeah, I think so. In a quick resource for a brand new stock that I got a lead on?
Yeah. Where do you trade? What is the platform that you use?
Actually, I've got a 401k, and also in the same company, I can purchase stock on a smaller conventional IRA.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so you could look at, you know, the platforms there. MarketWatch would be one. If it's a mutual fund, Morningstar would be another. Yahoo Finance, you know, it would be, you know, all of these platforms are going to offer you free insights into kind of some of the high level metrics that you could use, even accessing equity analyst reports. That would be available online. So I think just by doing a quick search of the company you're looking for, you'll find maybe the top sites. But I would say Yahoo Finance, MarketWatch, there's one called Seeking Alpha, and then Motley Fool. All of those have plenty of information on the stock of your choice that would be readily available at no charge.
Okay, and a quick thank you, because you educated me this spring on precious metals and silver. And I have invested, and silver is doing well. So thank you so much.
Excellent. Thanks, Michael. We appreciate your call today. Lord bless you, sir. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today as you get in on the conversation and share your financial questions with us. We'd love to help you process those in light of biblical wisdom. Again, a few lines open as we get cranked up here today. 800-525-7000. Let's go to Marcy in Texas. Hi, Marcy. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Rob. Thank you so much for all you do. You have no idea how much you help people out here.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Means a lot.
Thank you. You're welcome. The gentleman that just was on for CCCU, Christian Community Credit Union.
Yes.
I want to make a comment about that bank. I love it. It has been a lifesaver for me. All the people that I talk to there are so kind. And they're very helpful. Now,
I'm so thrilled to hear you say that. They've been a great partner of ours. So thank you for calling that out.
You're welcome. The only thing I would say, they need more branches in Texas and specifically the Woodlands. But the other thing I want to say is they need to move to Texas fast. Get out of California.
Excellent. Well, listen, I appreciate that. Now, are you aware of them being a part of the 30,000 surcharge-free ATM network with all the shared branches that they have through the co-op network? Have you checked that out?
Oh, yeah, that's what I use. They just closed one down. It was a shared branch bank that took 6 months to build the bank after closing the down the only branch that we had down here that was closed. So that's why I was saying we need more shared branches down here. But I love the bank.
Oh, I'm so thrilled to hear that. Well, that's a great reminder for those of you out there who are looking to align your values with your banking partner. CCCU could be a great choice, not only to know that you've got, you know, competitive products and great resources, but the service, I think, that Marcy's talking about, and that a portion of everything that goes into CCCU is used to advance the gospel through some really exciting ministries doing work in the name of Jesus all over the globe. JoinChristianCommunity.com is the website. We'll be right back.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. TheGodWhoSpeaks.org.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit afafoundation.net.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're glad to take your calls and questions today. 800-525-7000. That is the number to call. Let's go to Ohio and welcome Mike. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
Hey, I have a question. My identity was cherry-picked from a medical records company a year and a half back. And I signed up for credit monitoring, and nothing came of it until just recently. I have a collections on my credit report now where somebody used my identity to get a loan, a student loan in Portland, Oregon. I contacted the college. The credit bureau won't do anything about it because it is my information. Contacted the college, and I asked them why this didn't show up on my credit monitoring, and they actually said they don't do credit checks. They don't pull credit for student loans, which is a big concern. But I don't know what to do about this collections. I mean,
yes. So you say it's not showing up on your credit report. You're just getting a collections notice?
Yeah, there was no inquiry at all on my credit report. It went straight to collections. Because of course the people used a Portland, Oregon address and everything, so I didn't get anything in the mail. It just showed up as a collection one day on my on my credit report.
Yeah,
but
have
there was
you
never
reached
an inquiry anything?
Sure. Have you reached out to the lender?
Yeah. That's who told me that they wanted my Social Security number to verify. I didn't feel comfortable with that. And they said that they can't correspond with me until I open a student portal on their website. They can't send anything to my address because it doesn't match what they have. And they can't correspond with me at all until I open a student portal on their website, and then they can correspond with me. Other than that, I've talked to them on the phone. They actually told me I would probably be best off to hire an attorney to get this off of my record. But what I'm concerned about in hiring an attorney is if this person knew that the college wouldn't check my credit and just hand them money for a student loan, then what else might be out there that will show up on my credit after I get this sorted out? I'm not sure if I should wait and see if there's more coming or try to deal with it now.
Yeah. It's a great question. I mean, lenders generally do check your credit when you apply for a student loan. Is this a private lender that we're talking about?
It is a community college in Portland, Oregon.
Okay. But the student loan is coming from a private lender, or who is who is the lender on this?
The college itself.
Okay, interesting. So what I would do is, I mean, I think you can be confident in giving the college your information, whatever is necessary for them to be able to provide you the documentation since you didn't take this out. I mean, I would definitely start working toward getting all of the documentation from this university that says you have a balance that you never took out. They are going to need to defend this collection that they say is outstanding. And that is, of course, going to require that you give them, you know, some of your information. I wouldn't do that if somebody calls you, but if you're contacting them directly and talking to the financial services or student aid office, whoever, you know, is handling this, to be able to say, listen, I want you to provide me the documentation that initiated this loan, and then start working through it there and see if you can do it without the assistance of an attorney. Anytime there's a private loan, there's going to be a hard credit inquiry on your credit. And so that would, you know, make sure that as long as your credit is frozen and you put a fraud alert on there, that's going to catch those. Federal student loans don't have a minimum credit score requirement, and most don't require a hard inquiry on your credit. And so the only federal student loan that has the hard inquiry is what's called the Direct Plus loan, which are available to graduate and professional students and parents of undergraduate students. But I think in this case, it's probably a fairly isolated situation. I would just work directly with the community college to get this nailed down. And obviously, when they provide the information, since you didn't take it out, you're going to be able to dispute it and say that it was done fraudulently. You may need to get an attorney involved in this, and hopefully you can do it without that. You know, beyond that, I would, you know, if you haven't frozen your credit yet, put the fraud alert on there. I would certainly do that. I'd monitor your credit accounts. You know, that's going to stop the vast majority of these. And obviously, you've hit on something that kind of can happen outside of the credit report, which is obviously concerning. But, you know, I think there are steps you can take, you know, to dispute this and hopefully get it resolved. So, hey, keep us updated on this, Mike. I hate to hear you're going through this. I know this is concerning, but we'd love to know more along the way as you continue to work through this. Thanks for being on the program today. Let's go to Missouri. Hi, Sue. Go ahead.
Hey there. Yes, I am retired, and I bought a home November 2nd of 2022. And I've lived in the home, and I've been rehabbing it the entire time with my son. And now I want to sell the home. But if I sell it before the 2 years is up, would I have to pay capital gains? That's my question.
You would. Now, yeah, so what you have to recognize here is that you've got the original purchase price, which is your cost basis, but then those improvements are going to be able to be added to that. So, you know, you can't add to the cost basis, you know, regular maintenance for, you know, things that have worn out. But if you all are actually renovating and improving the property, you could use that working with your CPA to increase the cost basis. And then obviously, if you have any profit on top of that, then yes, that would be subject to capital gains. And so, you know, it could make sense for you to try to go ahead and hold it to reach that 2 year mark. So, because as long as it's been your primary residence for at least 2 years prior to the date of the sale, then you would have that $250,000 exclusion. You'd likely be in a 15% capital gain rate, because that would be capital gains of taxable income between $47,000 and $518,000, which also includes, as a part of that taxable income calculation, the gain itself. So you'd likely be at 15% if you don't wait. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
There have been people in our nation who have been pining for wickedness. As we read through Romans 1, you see over and over, God gave them over. God gave them over. But what is happening is evidence of abandonment. We need to understand that that is included within the wheelhouse, if you will, of God judging a people.
Join Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on AFR.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Absolutely free.
We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got some lines open today. If you have questions, we'll try to give you some answers in your financial life. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I've got room for several more questions before we round out the broadcast today, so you can call right now. We'd also love to hear your testimony. How has God been at work in your financial life? How have you seen his faithfulness and providing? How have you seen these principles we talk about from God's Word at work in your financial life? Share those with us as well when you call 800-525-7000. Hey, just a quick invitation to you here as we have the last broadcast day, at least for me, on Faith and Finance this week and for the month of August. We're getting close, but we're not quite there to our listener goal, our listener support goal for the month of August. And you can help us close the gap. Where do we stand? Well, we're just over $2,100 away from being able to reach our goal for the month of August as you all support and fund this work here at Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. If you'd like to help us close that gap, again, just $2,100 to go, you can support the ministry with your gift one time at faithfi.com. Just click give. That's faithfi.com, and then click give at the top of the page. A gift between now and the end of August, tomorrow being the last day, would help us close that gap, and we'd certainly be grateful. You could also become a FaithFi partner while you're there, which is those who support the ministry at $35 a month or more. A number of resources we make available to you when you become a partner. These are really those who stand with us day after day, month after month. We send you a pre-release copy of all of our new studies and devotions. So our partners got the Rich Toward God study. They'll get our brand new 21-day devotion, Look at the Sparrows, that comes out next month, September. It's on financial fear and anxiety. They'll get our new study that comes out early next year on the book of Ecclesiastes and money. You'll also get a copy of our new publication that will launch in the first quarter of next year as well. It's going to be beautiful and chock full of articles and resources to help you be that wise and faithful steward. Those are all the things and more that we send to our FaithFi partners. If you want to be a part of that group, we would love to invite you to do that. Again, faithfi.com. Just click give, and thanks in advance. All right, we're going to head back to the phones, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Kentucky. Hi, Elijah. Go ahead.
Blessing on you, Rob.
Say that again, sir.
I said, God blessing on you, well, Rob.
Thank you very much. I'll take that. And may the Lord bless you, Elijah. How can I serve you today?
Yes, sir. I just made 73 years old in January, and I am trying to understand the RMD. Could you give me some tips and tell me what I need to be aware of and when is the deadline to take RMD?
Yes. So your first required minimum distribution based on the latest laws, because this has been a bit of a moving target, but currently your first RMD has to be taken by April 1st of the year after you turn 73. And then for every year following that, it would have to be by 12/31, December 31st of each year moving forward. And so your account custodian, that's wherever you get your statements from, wherever your account is custodied, they should alert you of those deadlines, and you can contact whoever is managing your particular retirement account to, you know, inquire about that to make sure you're getting those notices. But bottom line is, first RMD, April 1st of the year after you turn 73. So that would be next year, based on what I'm hearing here. And then 12/31 moving forward. In terms of the amount, again, your custodian can help. IRS.gov could be a resource as well. Essentially, there's a table that says, based on your life expectancy, which is driven by your age, and the balance in the account as of the end of the year, that would be the amount that you owe or have to take out, not owe, but that which you would have to take out. The last thing I'll tell you, Elijah, is if you want to do some charitable giving, one great option you may already be aware of, but I'll just mention it quickly, is you can do a qualified charitable distribution once you're 70 and a half of up to $105,000 a year directly from an IRA to a charity or ministry of your choice. It satisfies your required minimum, and it doesn't add anything to your taxable income. So if you don't need the money, you could either do additional giving, or you could replace existing giving you're doing out of after-tax dollars with money coming out of your IRA. Is that all helpful, though?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. One more question. What does it take to put you one more hour on the radio instead of 1 hour, make it 2 hours?
I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. I wouldn't want to take the place of all the incredible programming here on American Family Radio. We need every bit of it. So I don't think I'd want to, move anybody out of their spot. I think I'll just be grateful for the 1 hour I get to come alongside you, encourage you each day. But that's a very kind statement you're making there.
Thank you, sir, and peace be with you.
And you as well, Elijah. May the Lord bless you. What a great guy. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got room for your questions today. Still one more segment, so we've got some space for you. Hey, let me mention something quickly. We had a caller that called a bit ago and couldn't hold, and he was asking about what is beginning to come out of the Harris campaign around policy proposals with regard to taxes. And one of those we've been hearing about, we're kind of light on details, is a new tax on unrealized capital gains. Now, what we're hearing is, at least, you know, this is just kind of some of the initial remarks, is that this would be for households worth more than $100 million. So obviously, you know, the vast majority of the people listening today, this wouldn't apply to. But here's the big idea. First, I would question whether it's constitutional. Second, it would make and render the U.S. incredibly not competitive. So I think, even though, you know, the vast majority of people hearing my voice right now would say, well, that doesn't apply to me, I don't need to think about it. Think about the impact of our economy if now those that had significant wealth, who are investors in our economy and in our country and in real estate and in our stock market, were disincented from doing that. And they absolutely would be, because here's how this essentially wealth tax works. Unrealized gains occur when the value of an asset increases over its cost basis, usually its purchase price, and while it's held unsold. So these are theoretical profits we're talking about, not realized profits where you have a known value after a sale. We're talking about unrealized capital gains. Okay, so that's essentially what we're talking about here. They would pay a minimum of, based on what we're hearing, 25% on their combined income and unrealized capital gains. it would most likely be assessed at the end of the year. So let's just use an example. Let's say this household worth more than $100 million has a stock portfolio with a $50 million cost basis, and on December 31st, it's now worth $125 million. They would pay 25% on the unrealized capital gains of $75 million. And they'd have another, then they'd have to pay the tax on all of that. And so they could owe $19 million in taxes, which obviously is a huge disincentive for these folks with regard to being domiciled here in the U.S., being investors here in the U.S. Plus, they may or may not actually realize that gain when it's all said and done, because it may decline in value, especially if we're talking about a stock portfolio. A lot more to come on this one, but a real negative with regard to our economy. We'll be right back.
So your hands are covered in gunk, and you realize it's time for your favorite AFR show. If you have an Alexa device, just ask Alexa to play the appropriate live stream. You can also listen to a particular podcast from a specific day or find out when a show airs, all without using your hands. To find out all about how Alexa can help you enjoy AFR, head on over to afr.net/Alexa-skill. Then your AFR wish is Alexa's command.
Hi, I'm Tim Moore, senior evangelist on Christ in Prophecy. Can you see the signs of the times multiplying all around? Jesus is coming back, and he doesn't want his people to be unprepared. To stay up to date about unfolding events and get a biblical perspective on the signs of the times, listen to Christ in Prophecy here on American Family Radio. Join us Sundays at 11 a.m. Central as we reveal the prophetic hope for those who believe in Jesus Christ, as well as the Bible's warning about God's coming wrath to those who don't yet know him.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have three money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Here in our final segment today, we're taking your calls and questions on anything financial. I've got room for you, perhaps one or two more calls. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go out to Louisiana. Hi, Nate. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, Brother Rob. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir.
So I'm self-employed, and my wife does not work, and so I'm trying to really make sure I do a good job with saving for retirement.
Yeah.
I'm almost 40 years old, and I have a Roth IRA, and there are some years when I have more to set aside than what my Roth IRA can accept. What would you recommend my second choice be on those years, which isn't every year, but so, like I said, sometimes I do have it maxed out and I still have some left over to save for retirement. And I do have it diversified with 10% gold, precious metals.
Cool.
So basically what I'm asking is, like, what would your second, your next choice be after a Roth IRA?
Yeah, it would be a SEP IRA, SEP, which stands for Simplified Employee Pension. And it's a great option for self-employed people, business owners, and freelancers. So think about it, Nate, like a traditional IRA with tax-deductible contributions and investments that grow tax-deferred until retirement, but with a much bigger contribution limit. Now, it's not like the Roth, where you can put it in after tax and get the tax-free growth. growth. It's like the traditional IRA, but it'd be a great complement to a fully funded Roth IRA every year. The beautiful part is there's just very low administrative costs, not like a, you know, a simple IRA or a individual 401k. And so there's no filing of annual reports with the IRS, and you can put in quite a bit of money. So you can put in 25% of your compensation, or $69,000 for the year 2024, whichever is less. So either 25% or $69,000. And it would be easy to set it up. You could probably do it wherever you have your Roth IRA, and you could invest it exactly the same way. In terms of your kind of rule of thumb target, and don't be discouraged if you're not near this, because you just got to start somewhere and try to make progress. But, you know, in terms of where you want to be at age 40, ideally you'd have 1.5 to 2.5 times your salary saved up on your way ultimately to, you know, retirement age, you know, where you'd want to have at 65, probably 10 to 12 times your salary saved up. But the, you know, the most powerful force you have working for you, Nate, to build wealth between now and retirement, whenever God redirects you toward continuing in this work or taking a season of sabbatical and then redirecting toward something else where you're serving the Lord in a different capacity, perhaps without pay, you know, your very best force for building that wealth is your income. So we want to take full advantage of that and live modestly and put as much of that as we can away. So that would be, I think, my first option beyond the Roth and the SEP IRA would be looking at perhaps a health savings account. If you guys are relatively healthy, you could get a high deductible health plan, max out a health savings account. That becomes, if you don't use it all and you invest it, a great, again, supplemental tool to build wealth that you can use tax advantaged in retirement, would be another great option. So how do those sound?
Sounds great. I hadn't really heard of a SEP IRA. I didn't know how that was different from a regular IRA.
Yeah. So you can contribute to a SEP in addition to the Roth and the traditional. So that $7,000 you can put in a Roth for you, and if you're married, you and your wife as a spouse IRA, you can go up to $7,000 between a Roth and a traditional. So you couldn't put seven in each. If you did seven in a Roth, you can't put anything in a traditional IRA. With the SEP, you can do that in addition to your Roth and traditional. So you could put seven in the Roth and then another either 69,000 or 25% of your compensation, whichever is less, into the SEP alongside it.
That's very helpful. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Hey, absolutely. Nate, what line of work are you in? What do you do?
Self-employed with lawn service.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I love it. What are your plans? Do you do it all with one team, or are you trying to build some additional teams and try to, you know, move more into a management role, or what are you thinking?
No, I'm not trying to move into a management role at all. Okay. I don't want to be a manager.
Okay. I hear you. You like getting out there and doing it yourself and seeing the final product, I guess, right?
That's correct.
I like it. You know, it's one of those few areas I don't mind cutting the grass. And the reason is there's so much in my life that happens incrementally over time. You know, I don't get to see the fruit of it right away. But there's just that immediate gratification of seeing that lawn done, you know, a couple hours after you start. And it feels really good.
And I believe some people have certain talents, and some people have management skills and
want
to be a manager, and God may want them to be a manager, and other people, they may not want to be a manager.
Oh, I completely agree with that. You've got to dial into how God has wired you and use those skills and abilities to glorify and honor Him. And not every job is right for every person. That is for sure. It sounds like you found your sweet spot, my friend, and doing a great job. Well, listen, I appreciate you being on the program today. Call anytime, all right?
God bless you. Thank you.
And you as well. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. You know, by the way, I would say, you know, as it comes to, we talk about living, giving, owing, and growing God's money. But before all of that is earning. And remember, we were created to be workers even before the fall, and God allowed us. You remember the two things that when the shrubs didn't spring up, it was two things. Man had not entered the equation, and so he's chosen to use mankind, starting with Adam and Eve, to bring his latent creation into flourishing. And then it was water, right? He needed to bring the water, and he chose to use those things to bring forth life. So we were a part of his plan. He allows us to participate in taking his latent creation and improving it and causing it to flourish and to bless mankind. And we take those raw materials like sand to become microprocessors and seeds to become trees and tend to the garden and cultivate and keep. And that was a part of God's design. And I think that's where we experience the joy of the Lord as we're able to work. He created us to be workers. He's a worker, and we were created in his image, but he creates out of nothing. We create out of his creation that's there with the raw materials for us to take and improve. And that's why business, we talk about goods and services, right? Goods, to be good things to bless mankind. Services, to serve and love our neighbor. You see, it's not that even though work became toilsome, it doesn't mean that work wasn't a part of God's plan. It absolutely was. And so, you know, I talked to somebody the other day who said, you know, as I was wrestling whether or not to go into vocational ministry or into the marketplace, and I chose the marketplace, and I had a pastor tell me, you know, that's unfortunate because now all you are is a tithe check. And boy, that just breaks my heart because we realize that, you know, to be workers and to be in the marketplace and to be advancing God's kingdom, whether you're cutting grass and helping to, you know, keep the creation, you know, ordered and the grass cut and the edge, you know, straight, you're honoring the Lord and serving those that you have as customers. And the same is true for those, you know, creating medicine and doctors and lawyers and everything in between, you know, those serving at the coffee shop down the street. You know, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord through the gifts and abilities he's given us. And unfortunately, I think we've lost some of that work ethic here in this country, and we need to get that back because that's clearly a part of God's design. And I would say that part of that is the teaching that we're getting from the local church that, you know, we need pastors, and many of them do. I'm not saying that they don't, but affirming the work of whether you're called into vocational ministry and, you know, a ministry down the street or to the ends of the earth, or you're in the marketplace being the hands and feet of Jesus to bless mankind and to take and create new technologies and take God's creation and improve it to bless others. It's all a part of God's plan, and we need to lean into that. And I think that's precisely why we don't need to take our cues from the world with regard to retirement. The world would say that, you know, you should get a gold watch and a check for life and sit on the front porch at 65. And I reject that because I think God's word rejects that. That's not the model that we see in Scripture. I mean, look at Polycarp and John, I mean, working all the way to the end at 90 years of age and older. I mean, that model is we're in service to the Lord throughout our whole lives. And guess what? Science affirms that. Well, of course it does, because it's God's creation. But when we continue to work and stay productive, our health is better in that season of life. And think about just the elders at the city gates, how they were teaching. I mean, that wisdom and experience we have to bless our neighbors and to bless the world in that season of life. Now, maybe you take a step back and take a season of rest and sabbatical and kind of engaging slowly into work. But when you do, you have so much wisdom and experience to bring to bear in that season of life. Don't miss that. We need that from our elders. And I think that's why we need to reject the model of retirement from the world and lean into God's design for how we can be a blessing throughout the whole of our lives until God calls us home, because our calling doesn't have an expiration date. until we see Jesus face to face. And then we'll have new work, by the way. Hey, thanks for being along with us today. What a joy to talk to you. Thank you for your kind remarks about the program. And again, to support our work, this is a really important time between now and August the 31st. That's tomorrow. We're $2,000 away of closing the gap on our monthly support goal. Go to faithfi.com and click give. A big thanks to my team today, Sandy, Jim, and Devin, and everybody here at FaithFi. Couldn't do it without them. Have a great holiday weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.